by side at the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Regarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Oh, yeah, she's got a ticket to ride, and you've got a ticket to ride, because we're all riding today
right
on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive and today motorcycle talk show.
Yes, only two wheels today.
With your host, Ray Guarino, his wingman, co-host, and man at the con.
The other guy.
Joe D.
Yep.
And we have with us today a special guest, Mr. Steve Bertolini from On the Road Motorcycle School. Steve, pleasure to have you here.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I like what you did there with that ride. Nice segue.
You know.
Ray's a master at that stuff, let me tell you.
Let me get this out right now. This is a double entendre. It was a double entendre musical thing. Of course, Ticket to Ride, Ride the Motorcycle. But we lost a member of our Motormouth Radio family this past week, Joe, as you know. Dennis the Goatman, who was a huge Beatles fan.
Yes.
So we're honoring him a little today with our intro and outros. And we have something planned in the future. We're going to do a nice little tribute for him. Our old co-host,
Chris
Switzer.
He was a big part of the show back.
Huge.
Pride of me, yeah.
Huge. And he's sorely missed. So we're gonna work on a tribute for him. It's in the works now. Chris and I are kind of collaborating, and I pulled years of files out. So that's for the future. But again, it's kind of a dual thing. So I kind of like that I could do both.
Well, you did what you entendred to do.
Exactly. And if you want to entendre yourself into the show, you can call us at 516-572-7440. Follow us on MotormouthRadio.com, Motormouth Radio on Twitter, and on Facebook, and on Joe's favorite Instagram.
_MotormouthRadio.
Exactly. Well, we post all the stuff we do during the week, all the crazy stuff we get into, and I've been in some crazy stuff. I couldn't even have time to take pictures of it. It was so
Yeah, me too.
Dirty.
It was just all kinds of shenanigans going on there. It was mostly pictures of, like, bad, you know, rubbed wires and loose connectors and stuff, but
right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Which happens a lot in the motorcycle world, too. So, Steve, let's start talking about what you do, how you do, and why you do it, and of course, your instructors.
How do you do?
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, first off, I wish you would have enlightened me to the dress code. I didn't know you'd be in tuxedos.
Yeah.
This is kind of weird, underdressed.
Yeah, well, it was laundry day, you know. Wash day to day, nothing clean. It's okay, though.
I own On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and we have two locations. At Suffolk Community College and right outside the door here at Nassau Community College.
That's
right.
Correct, yeah.
Yes. And we train beginners to experienced riders. We offer numerous courses, and we have a passionate staff. We have a great staff. About 27 employees right now.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
You know, Steve, I
27 teachers, no waiting, huh?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I tell people about this because I've been a motorcyclist for many, many years, like yourself, and I take it seriously. Let's face it, I've had phases of my career that weren't as serious as others, but for the most part, I'm here to talk about it, so I kind of did something right, I guess.
Yeah.
And I do believe in safety. I believe in training with anything that people do. And I've told folks, and this is where you can clear us up because I may be dated on this. I said, what I see outside looks like the full-blown course, the beginner course.
Yes, that's the basic rider course. We call it the BRC, basic rider course. A lot of acronyms.
We love acronyms.
Yeah,
yes.
BRC. That's 18 hours of training, guys.
Right. Now, there's classroom associated with that as well, correct?
Yes, 5 hours of classroom, 3 hours online before the classroom.
Oh, wow.
Which is, there's a test component to the online thing.
Okay.
And there's also a written test in the classroom.
Right.
And then 10 hours of riding split between 2 days.
It's 2 days.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
And we provide the motorcycles and a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be properly attired. You need over-the-ankle footwear. No short shorts. You know, mm-hmm. long pants, of course. Long sleeves.
Yeah.
Full-finger gloves. And a long-sleeve shirt, as I said, yeah. Preferably a jacket, you know, and that's a basic minimum requirement of all riders. Eye protection also, I'm sorry.
Yes.
New York State only requires a helmet, a DOT-certified helmet, and eye protection.
Mm-hmm.
We hold everyone to a little higher standard.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Which is smart, because, you know, no use hanging out in the breeze like that, you know?
Exactly.
You know, the bugs in the teeth thing was something that was always, the staple of motorcycle riders. Like, yeah, bugs in my teeth. That means you were smiling when you were riding, so you're like, you got it. And, Joe, I used one on you this week. You said something to me, and I in my complimentary way, I realized I might have complimented you in a way you didn't realize. I said, you get an extra slice of raisin pie today.
Yes, I did.
That goes back to Easy Riders magazine.
Mm-hmm. You know, raisin pie.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, that's an oldie but a goodie for a motorcycle.
Yes, I caught that flashback. I was duly honored after dealing with that particularly difficult customer. Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. So that's what that goes. There's all sorts of cool stuff. But you're right, Steve. I think it's great with the you have to be attired. Wow. And that's one of the things that got me involved in this radio show. There was a co-host named Mike Timmons. You may know Mike Timmons. He was a motorcycle guy from around. He worked at Suffolk Harley, and then he went on his own. He became independent and got wildly popular. He had more customers than he could deal with as an independent motorcycle repair person, fully trained and vetted. And another co-host we had, the Bronc, was also a teacher and rode a motorcycle. And they were talking one day. A young fellow called in, and they were talking about how to get into the game and gear, and of course they were throwing every piece of leather at him they could find, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I called up. I said, "All right, guys, hold on a second. Let me just, you know, play devil's advocate." I said, "You know, came up through the sport like you guys did, sport, hobby, whatever you want to call it. I don't know,
both."
Yeah, and I said, "Of course, I have a closet full of leather." I said, "But recently, and this is going back in the 90s, I had switched to the synthetic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Rocket, a fully armored screen door jacket for mm-hmm. the summer. Mm-hmm. I forget the brand of the winter jacket, the motor jacket, with everything was full armor." I said, "It's so much, so light. It feels like with leather, you got to break it in for 5 years. This stuff, you put it on, it feels like you just took it out of your closet. The boots, everything is just so much more advanced."
They have everything you could possibly think of in apparel and accessories for motorcycles. So if you're hot, there's something to keep you cool. If you're cool, there's something to keep you warm.
Right. Warm. So, we get into that. Yeah, it's like all the heated stuff, too, which we get into at another time. Yeah. But that was the thing. And these guys, it was the end of the show. They asked me to call. "Can you call back next week?" "Yeah, sure I can." And we picked up where we left off. And they wanted me to, you know, introduce them to this, to the riding apparel that was new school.
Mm.
And I did. And like I said, that was my beginning into this show. So there's a lot out there. I think people are probably a little more wise to it today. Well, I got to say, I see a lot of the guys that are taking the introductory class. I don't think they've spent a lot of money yet. You know, they all have nice, you guys provide helmets. I think I'd bring my own, you know, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah. We encourage jackets, but, you know, it's a low-speed controlled environment, so the bare minimum is long sleeves.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. But, like I said, when I found out the one I happened by was a Johnny Rocket, it's, Joe, it literally is like a screen door.
Yeah.
You've probably seen it. With, you know, armor, you know.
Full mesh.
And in the back.
It's mesh, yeah.
And it's great if you have a bare bike because you get the full effect of the wind. On the bike I ride, I don't get the full effect of the wind because my bike is made to bring the wind around me. So, but when I borrow someone's bike, like, wow, this jacket is great.
Yeah. You know, and that's something that riders don't understand or car drivers don't understand. Motorcyclists has to deal with some specific climate issues, right?
Yeah.
So when you're in a car, when the windshield fogs up, you put on your defroster. Mm-hmm. On the motorcycle, you don't have a defroster. So you have to, you know, be prepared for that. We use anti-fog on our shields or, you know, use certain treatments to you know, make sure you can see.
That's right. I had a one of my favorite stories that I've told it probably not in a while now. Before I was married to my wife, this is going back over 30-something years, we were staying at a friend's apartment on Jewel Avenue in Flushing.
Oh, okay.
And we stayed there for the weekend, and I had my Honda 550. 40 years of riding, I've had 3 bikes. You know, I'm not one of those guys that has 100. I kind of stick with what I like, but I was riding that Honda, and we were out there at the time, and it was Sunday night. We had to come back home, and it was raining. On Sunday, I said, you know what, let's just wait. Well, we wait for lunch. No, it was raining. Well, we'll wait for dinner. No, let's wait for the traffic to subside. Finally, it was 10 o'clock at night. I said, we got to get you home. I got to go home. We got work, whatever. On the LIE, full face helmet. I was in the right lane, taking it easy, and, you know, a lot of road splash. So it's always that. I think I had one of those finger wipers that you put on your finger and you'd wipe your shield.
Yeah. Squeegee finger.
Yeah. And one point, I found the downside. It's like beating the dump button on a radio station. A truck passed us, and the truck splash came up and literally blinded me. It's funny because the last thing I remember seeing was, okay, no problem, wipe my shield, but the rear wheels of the truck came, did it again.
Yeah.
And in my head, I thought, there's an overpass. Last thing I saw was an overpass. And I remember thinking, in that half a second, if I veer at all, the last thing I'm going to remember was, yeah, I saw an overpass before it passed through my helmet. And I wiped my shield again but couldn't clear it enough because the truck kept washing. Thank God, obviously, you know, we survived. We didn't have an incident. But it was a real wake-up call about, wow, you gotta watch that.
Just had a dear friend crash because of that.
Really?
Yes. He. It's a long story. I'll keep it short. He had a new helmet and had a borrowed motorcycle and was going on a trip with a VIP. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't, riding in the rain, he couldn't open the shield. He didn't know how to open it.
Oh, wow.
He fogged up.
Yeah.
And he pulled to the right. Luckily, he's an experienced rider, a lot of off-road stuff. And and he crashed, and he couldn't continue the trip. He was not hurt too bad, but his pride was certainly hurt because he was with the boss.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's, you know, the newest helmet I have is, let me think. I have an HJC that's open, but I have one of those... you know, the flip-up helmets, the convertible jobbies.
Modular,
thank you. Yeah. I'm trying to remember who makes it. It'll come to me. But it has vents that you can open in the chin that will actually vent the shield.
Sure.
So air will come in and give you kind of like a defroster effect, which is kind of cool.
Yep.
But, it's all that, like I said, with any hobby and sport, new technology is something that needs to be looked at. And, you know, I mean, bikes have certainly progressed.
They're incredible.
You know, unbelievable.
But we still ride them the same way.
Yeah, pretty much.
Really, it's the same moves, you know. And the important thing on a motorcycle to control it is posture. Mm. And one of the key things is looking where you want to go.
Yes.
Looking where you want to go, not where you're going.
Right.
People say, look where you're going. No, if you're going towards a car, that would be bad, right? So, yeah, look at the path of travel that you need to take. And it's a great little metaphor for life, isn't it?
It is. That is pretty good.
Yeah, it is, really. Look where you want
to
go.
I've used a lot of my motorcycle training to teach my two daughters how to drive cars. And although they're vastly different, there's a lot alike. Like you said, looking where you want to go. Yeah, I played also played competition darts for many years and trained many of my players. Like when they were in a slump, I said, listen, I can see what you're doing. Your hand will go where your eye looks. I said, so you should be looking at the 20 up there, the triple 20, but you didn't. You looked away at the last second, and look, your dart went over to the 18. Why? Because you looked to the right.
Absolutely.
Your hand goes where your eye looks.
Absolutely, yeah.
So if it's on a handlebar, whether it's on a steering wheel, wherever.
Yep.
You tune in the wrong radio station on your car because you looked at
And that's why people are driving pretty bad today. They're all distracted with texting.
Yes,
and,
totally. You know? I know at least... three people, one of which was me, that been rear-ended at like stop sign, you know, traffic lights, whatever.
Yeah.
Because the life form behind me was texting.
Yeah. You know? Oh, today that's
obviously
that's the worst. I mean, I see that all the time. I'm a nut. You know, when I look at it, when I'm the first guy at that turning light or the red light, I look at it, I'm the centurion, I'm the guardian of the gate for everybody behind me. So I'm ready to go. Now, if I'm 2 or 3 cars back, I might check the phone to see if I had a text message. That's actually legal to do.
I know.
And, you know, or I may divert or do something else, but because I figure, well, the guy's in front of me. That's their job. And how many times? Last night it happened, like, oh, no, you know, and I'm not a horn blower. But I did it, this one woman, because she was blatantly just sitting there at the green light.
Right.
It's like, listen, come on, we got to go.
Yeah, but, usually yep. it's the obligatory like little tap.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm not. Then it becomes tap tap.
Yeah.
Then after that, my hand just gets stuck.
I will tell you guys about a really cool horn circuit, electronic horn circuit that's great for a motorcycle. When we come back, we're going to take a first break and take care of some business. But we're here, Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, with Steve Bertolini from On the Road Motorcycle School. And here we go. This was lettered on the fenders of Dennis's 67 GTO. This was one of his favorite Beatles songs. So we'll play that, a little bit of that, and we'll be back in a second. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
WHPC is supported by Life's Work. Life's Work has job opportunities available for college students and recent college grads, both full and part-time. These positions are offered to accommodate your class schedule. They offer a generous compensation package, including benefits. Life's Work is a nonprofit agency that supports people with special needs, including intellectual disabilities and autism. Apply today at lifeswork.org. That's Life's Work with a C.org.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motormouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
There we go, the old day tripper going out to the Goatman on Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D, Steve Bertolini, we're sitting here talking motorcycles, 516-572-7440. If you miss it or want to tell your friends about it, you can catch it on our website, motormouthradio.com, or on iHeartRadio or Spreaker. Just do searches, and we're all over the place to kind of answer your questions, Steve. A lot of people listen after the fact because they're busy on Sunday, family things and whatnot. We lose out a lot of guests that way, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, some people come back and listen during the week on one of those streaming platforms. Actually, Performance Motorsports Network, I think, is still broadcasting our stuff. So.
Yeah, they haven't found right. They haven't found that yet, so shh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, all that good stuff. So, let me tell you, in case anybody remembered, I'll tell you about this horn idea.
Yes.
Being kind of a, an electronic tech, trained electronics and tinkerer, I found in one of my favorite magazines was Motorcycle Consumer News, right? MCN. And what they did is they had a circuit in there for an engineer put it in. It's a staged horn. So, because sometimes, like, my BMW has two very loud horns. I mean, like, first time I rode someone else's bike, it was a K75 with a fairing, and I blew the horns, it scared me. I'm like, if those horns are scaring me, imagine what they're going to do. So I actually bought a spare set on eBay. So, you know, I have them on my bike, but what the circuit does, it's a timer circuit. You got to go out and buy one of those. It's called a Wolo electric air horn. They're very popular.
I've heard of Wolo.
Casters about maybe five inches, chrome top. People put them in cars, too. And as an air horn, it's very, very loud. Obnoxiously loud.
Mm-hmm.
But for those times where the tap on the horn doesn't do it and laying on the horn doesn't do it and you want to really give someone a blast because maybe it's not that they're sitting at a red light. Maybe they're coming your way or they're just not getting out of your way and you don't have an exit path. One of the things I learned was always have an exit path.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes you don't.
Always have a way out.
Yep. Or your exit is like over the side or it's not a good exit. You know, sometimes it's putting the bike down. It's not a good choice. So you feel maybe you get that last second of enlightenment. You press the horn button and hold your horn button, and it'll go. You adjust the circuit accordingly for how many seconds you want that to work. So it could be 3, 4, 5 seconds of regular horn, and then the air horn kicks in right on top of your regular horns.
Wow.
So it's a staged horn.
Wow.
And okay. I have the circuit. I've yet to build it, but yeah, I'm going to. One of these days, I'm going to do that.
Yes. So, would you kindly move? May I have your attention, please?
Yeah.
Are you listening? Come on now!
I mean
it!
That's what I'm saying. When they don't get the tap, they don't get the hint on the tap, right?
You're going to show. You got that right.
I rarely use the horn on the motorcycle.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I use my steering input or brakes or swerve.
Yeah, yeah. I would rather just physically get out of the way or avoid the situation rather than chastise them.
That's what my wife said to me last night when I actually did toot the horn. She goes, wow, you never blow the horn. Like, yeah, because I'm usually intent on working with the situation to get out of it or avoid it or just like, all right. Yeah, you're an idiot. so there we go.
Excuse me, has anyone told you lately you're a moron?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can afford to say that, you know?
That'd be great. I mean, personally, I just hang out the window with, like, green lights. It's not going to get any greener!
Yeah, there
you
go.
That's my favorite. You know,
see, but that's the thing, too. These days, I mean, back in the day, you get away. These days, you never know who the idiot is in the car next to you. Like, what are they
capable of? Oh, yeah, that's another thing. Yeah, they're packing some type of...
And... You know, that's
weapon of
that's a
miniature
whole,
destruction.
Yeah, there. That's a whole other thing. Do we want to get involved with that? I don't know. It's
You know, there's too much paperwork involved in getting into one of those things. You know, I got places to go. I can't be stopped for this crap.
Yeah,
I got customers waiting. I got a boss waiting. Something. So like, you can't really. It's really hard to coexist amongst the other motorists in the road. Sometimes it really is.
Mm-hmm. How do we change drivers' attitudes? Oh. How do we change that? That's what needs to be done. How many people know that stay to the right of the road except to pass is a rule and a law in most states?
Oh, they have no idea.
Right. How do we change that?
Sometimes a lot of times they know. Sometimes they don't know because they don't even pass like the written test, but somehow they still get a driver's license. You know what I mean? They've actually read the little booklet that comes with it, but they just don't care because they got someplace to be.
All right. Well, you know what, guys? We got a flashy thing. We have someone on the line.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Let's go to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how you doing today?
Hey.
Good. I'm talking to Joe.
Joe, yeah, you got a good ear.
Joe, you're one of our old school callers. Yeah, Joe Undertaker, what's going on? We have Steve Bertolini in the station today from On the Road Again Motorcycle Schools.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah, I definitely have to talk about that too. But also, I got a one comment on that with the horns. I used to have a Ford Fiesta with a PA speaker under the hood that was actually bigger than the engine.
That's not saying much.
Nice. Yeah, right. How'd that work out, Joe? Did you use it a lot?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a light, and the guy was being an idiot, and I just keyed it up and said a few things, and he's, like, looking around like, you know, is God speaking to me?
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, you got that. You got to have that deep voice for that.
Yeah.
Now, can you throw lightning bolts? That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
That's the thing.
One question about with the motorcycle safety. Do they make GoPros that are... legal on the motorcycles? I know I've seen that there was issues with the they're interfering with the helmet safety.
I don't see why it would interfere. You can mount a GoPro on numerous parts of your helmet, and they have a chest mount for GoPros. I'm sure if you wanted to mount a GoPro somewhere on yourself or your bike, I don't see a legal issue with it, personally.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't see why either. Yeah. Yeah, Joe, was there something specific about that raised the flag?
Well, I remember seeing it a while ago. It was some. I don't remember if it was on TV or YouTube or whatever, but there was something where a cop was complaining to the guy that it was it would be a detriment to the helmet's integrity, something like that.
Oh, all right.
Huh.
Perhaps it was those wood screws that were holding it in that went just a little too far towards the guy's scalp.
Yeah, maybe the drywall screws that they use. Yeah,
was the gentleman's neck red?
Well, you know that, Joe, I think you might have hit something.
I resemble that remark.
I think Joe might have hit something, Joe. Anytime you alter a helmet with anything other than tape, you compromise the integrity of that helmet. In fact, I remember that the dictums was, if you're in a motorcycle accident and that helmet hits the ground, change it. Every five years. Because there's an ANSI and DOT approval on the back of that helmet. Snell also, right.
Yeah.
And right. So maybe that's what it was, Joe. Maybe they were thinking that if the guy used a mechanical attachment, that would void the integrity of the helmet.
Yeah, I wasn't sure on the specifics. Like I said, I just remember seeing it. And the reason why I'm interested in it now is, unfortunately, I was in an accident on the bike about a month ago. And
sorry, Joe.
The helmet did a good job, but I don't remember the moments leading up to it. So
right.
Joe, have you ever taken any training?
Yeah, when I initially got my license back about 10 years ago, I had done the, I don't know if you mentioned any, I don't even remember what it is. I think it was the trauma thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Trauma was a name of a school that provided some a Motorcycle Safety Foundation curriculum. If you want to come in for a refresher course, we offer numerous types. Look us up on the internet at LRN, the number 2, RIDE, or you can call us at 61.
Yeah, being over at Suffolk, that'll be great.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
What's that number again, Steve?
Oh, geez, I forgot.
Okay. You know what?
Oh, here we go.
It's right on the brochure.
862-7433.
Yeah, Joe, it's 631-862-7433. We'll see if we can get that up on our website, too. We'll put a link to you up there.
Oh, yeah, well, I'll definitely be shaming the recording on when I play it back at a later date.
Right. Yeah, and you can always get in touch with us, and we can provide any information. Sure. Yeah. So last we talked, Joe,
you seen that in the parking lot on Sundays.
That's right. I seem to remember last we talked some years ago, you were riding a scooter or something small, right?
Yeah, it's like a comedy of errors. The first scooter that I had was a 250 reflex, which was good. But then I was approaching a turning lane at a traffic light, and a box truck, waved on a woman making a left-hand turn.
Oh, boy.
So...
Nice.
It wrecked all the plastic on that, so it wound up getting junked.
Beautiful.
And
oh,
then
boy.
I
Yikes.
Upgraded to a 400 Yamaha Majesty, and that was going good until another person decided to make a left-hand turn.
How do you like that? Well, at least you survived. You've gotten through it.
Yeah, thank God
that.
You're still here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here to tell the tale.
All right, Joe, we got to run. We have another caller, and we thank you for calling.
See you, Joe.
Yep. Have yourself a good day.
All right, Joe. So long.
Take care.
Bye.
All right, let's try this again. You see what happened there? We were just a second too late. Okay, caller.
Missed it by that much.
Yeah. Call back.
Nice. Yeah. We're ready for you.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And hi, Nephew Chris. Oh, look, he heard us.
Oh,
he heard us.
All right, let's see if we try this and this. And say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, what's going on?
Very good. Who are we speaking with?
Rob.
Rob, how you doing, Rob?
How are you, man?
Good.
You guys, you know, you're talking about motorcycle safety and this and that. I really hope somebody from the DMV is listening in, because what they really need to do is revamp the whole entire program as far as taking your permit test and the road test, because... It's an absolute joke. You take 20 questions for your permit test, you can pass it, and then you go on a road test, and you go around, Fireman's Field, you make a right, you make a left, you come up to a stop sign, you parallel park, and that's the end of that. You either pass or fail. They don't make you merge onto an expressway or have a school bus in front of you with the flashing lights, or a ball come out between two cars. You know what I'm saying? It's just it needs to be revamped. That's where it needs to start.
It's very basic, yeah.
That's number one. And number two, the amount of traffic on our roads is tenfold now as it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, good points.
It's definitely congested, for sure.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? So I hope somebody from DMV is out there listening and they do something about it. But it might take them 14 years, because they took 14 years to just pass the motor safety course.
Right.
Okay, the girl that passed away in Deer Park.
Yeah, it unfortunately takes a tragedy sometimes to move something forward. And say that's what happened with the boat of safety. Yeah, the BUI was ridiculous.
14 years for that to go through, bro. That's crazy. That should not be like that. But
You're right.
Talking about slow reaction times,
yeah.
Government. Yeah, I hear you.
All right, Rob, thanks for that. Hopefully someone is listening, and they'll maybe we can make some changes.
Yeah, you'll hear about a change in 14 years.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll mark the calendar.
Right.
Mark the calendar.
We'll do that
right now.
I'll call you back in 14 years, all right?
Okay, all right. Rob,
you got
a date.
Deal.
Thanks.
We'll be here.
All right. All right.
Guys, just so you know,
that was good.
75% of licensed motorcyclists in New York now are taking the course to get their license.
Excellent.
Our course is the basic rider course is a license waiver course.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So we do the testing on site here.
Right.
And you don't need any additional DMV testing, which
Fantastic.
Is real nice. Yeah.
Excellent.
We're on fire here. Let's go back to the phones.
75% of the licensed motorcyclists.
Say hi, radio guy. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yo, turn your radio down.
We're listening to ourselves.
I sound pretty good. Yeah, wait a second.
Yeah,
let me listen to myself.
All right. You know what? With that,
you do
sound good.
A port dial. You know what I mean?
With that, we'll take another break. We'll come back. Maybe we'll get that guy back in the line. Here on Motor Mouth Radio.
Thank
you. 90.3 WHPC.
This show is brought to you by the Paramount in Huntington, who presents the Marshall Tucker Band on Thursday, June 27th at 8 p.m. More information is available online at ParamountNY.com.
Hey, you in the car. Yeah, you. You're a fan of the music of Sly Stone. I know you are. No reason to hide it. You've probably been looking for a radio program that highlights his music. Well, then look no further. Let me introduce myself. I am DJ Solero. That's soul followed by air and an O. Solero. Well, never mind about that. Back to what we're both here to talk about. The Sly Stone Show features the music of Sly through the various artists who have covered and sampled his music, and I'll be playing some of the original music that helped impact a generation. Come on, I know you're looking for some feel-good music, so just keep your radio right here for the Sly Stone Show. And you might want to think about cleaning up your car before we start. This thing is nasty. Oh, back to what's important. It's the Sly Stone Show, now at a brand new time, live. Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
This show is brought to you by On the Road Again Motorcycle School. Hi, I'm Steve Bertolini, the president of On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and I'd like to tell you that life is short, so live a little by learning how to ride a motorcycle. Classes are available from beginner riders to advanced, including private lessons. Lessons are offered on the campuses of Nassau Community College and Suffolk Community College, also offering the license waiver class, where you can skip the DMV. More information about On the Road Again Motorcycle School can be found by calling 631-862-RIDE. That's 631-862-RIDE. Or online at lrn2ride.com.
And there are your numbers. We were worried about that. Our song timed out because we played an extra promo. But that's our own Steve Berlini in the studio with us talking about On the Road Again Motorcycle School. There was a number and a website.
And a fine commercial announcer as well.
Absolutely. Very good.
Hey, you want a job? You can do the next Motor Mouth commercial for us.
Yeah. So, Steve, you had mentioned to us now something about a course for people who have been riding on a permit for many years and just never got their license. I guess, what were they, afraid of the road test? I don't know.
I guess. DMV's thrown some numbers at us about maybe as much as 18,000 registered motorcyclists that don't have a licensed rider. You know, with them. So there may be 18,000 riders riding with a permit only.
Okay.
We have a course. It's 8 hours, mm-hmm. 3 hours online, 5 hours of training.
Right.
And we do the test, and then there's no more testing. DMV, you're tested, you get a waiver card, you go to DMV, and you have your license.
And I guess, I would imagine that the thought is, people might feel more comfortable taking a road test accredited class with an outside agency like yourself than with DMV, I guess.
Yes. We train you before we test you.
Right.
If you fail the first test, there's a free retest. By the way, this is done on your motorcycle.
Right, right.
You know, so.
That's like what Rob said. Training, you know, it's the same thing in this county. You know, if you want to become a licensed handgun owner, you can do that. It's your right, your privilege. As long as you pass all the background checks, you can do that. And truthfully, they don't want you to have to buy a gun. They're happy if you don't have one. Yeah. But you can. But now you go buy one, and you take it out. And now you have not even an iota of accreditation to prove that you know even how to handle the thing, which is totally ridiculous. Right. But yeah, right. There's a lot of things in this...
That need work.
That need work. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah.
Bureaucracy but, is fun,
but that's great. I think, like you were saying, with your place, your school, you have guys, MSF instructors who are trained, have ridden for years. I mean, I've obviously I took a road test, and I've taken many people because I was always the guy that had the license. You know,
you're trying to put me out of business?
No. Uh-huh. I haven't done it in years.
Okay, all right.
But I know some people were pretty. I can tell you a funny road test story too. But first, we'll go to the phones, and we'll say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Ray, me, Rob. How you doing?
Good, Rob. What's up?
Doing good. So, you know, I'm listening to your guest, and I'm thinking to myself, this is exactly what a person like myself would need because, you know, I've ridden bikes for many years on and off, but I never really bothered to go out and actually make it legal and get the license.
There you go.
So, I mean, hearing about a service like this, you can bet he's going to get a call.
Okay.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Absolutely. It's good to hear.
Hey, one of the other...
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. One of the other things we like to do is keep it fun. I've been riding motorcycles for 50 years, and I do it because it's fun. Yeah. And I like to do that for all our students, too. So, come on down.
Yeah, you know what it is? I mean, I've ridden mainly dirt bikes and enduros, and I had a street bike at one time, you know, for a short period of time. Maybe I shouldn't have had it, but that's okay.
Right.
You know, had a great time with it. But, you know, now I think it's time. I'm in my late 50s, so, you know, let's get out there and enjoy it the right way, right?
Sounds great. Sounds great. Come on down.
Do it, Rob.
All right, listen. Yep, I got to go. You have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Rob.
Take care, Rob.
Care, see you, Rob.
See you, Rob.
Excellent.
Is that the same Rob calls over?
No, that was a different Rob. No, we have a lot of Robs. We have a lot of Joes. We have a lot of threads here.
Okay.
We don't have the other names like Dagmar and
No Dagmars?
Yeah, no Dagmars, no Bellatrix or nothing like that. No.
Right.
We stick with the regular New York names here.
Mr. McSixaplex, right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a quick funny motorcycle road test story. My brother, who was actually killed in a motorcycle accident many years ago, but before that, he was riding a chopper, you know, a Harley chopper, long front end. He was a pretty damn good rider, but he had to take his road test, and he knew, I can't roll up on this thing. You know, it's like they're going to like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
So he borrowed my friend Gerard's, at the time he had a brand new Honda Interceptor. That was back in the 80s.
I owned one, yes.
Nice bike.
87.
Yeah, nice
Great
bike.
Great motorcycle.
Beautiful. So I have a picture of them going out to test, you know, just to get used to the bike. So Gerard was actually on my Honda, and my brother Mike was on the Interceptor, and he just looked so out of place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because when we're at the road test now, and, you know, I'm with the instructor following him, and that bike had that micro switch clutch on it.
Did it have a hydraulic clutch on it?
It was real. I mean, you heard a micro switch clutch.
Yeah, it had a hydraulic clutch on it, yeah.
And he had trouble with it. He stalled the bike a number of times, and I know, you got to not say anything, but I said, just so you know, like, that's not his bike. He says, oh, really? He says, I would have never known. Like, yeah. So, and he passed. He actually ended up passing, but it was just so funny. But a lot of guys borrow a motorcycle for a road test. They don't have one. And you get on a bike that you don't know, it's tough to make maneuvers. You know?
It is. We still offer that service, by the way. We do take people to the traditional old school road test.
Okay.
We provide a pickup truck, follow truck, and a comfortable bike, and we do a little warm up before the test.
The thing I wondered, we watch these guys out here every week, and I noticed the bikes are all, of course, smaller, which is good because you want to have some control. But it reminds me when I took the class with Gaspar on my BMW, and he told me to make a maneuver. I think it was to go up like 50 feet in first gear and then stop. And I said, I can't do that. He goes, what do you mean? I said, I can't do it. He goes, well, why? Are you saying, the instructor's like, are you incapable of taking, give me this whole right. I'm like, no. I said, I'm riding a BMW K bike. First gear is so low in this thing. By the time I get halfway, and if I let off the throttle, I'm nosediving. He goes, it looks down and goes, oh, this is a BMW. You can do it in second gear. I'm like, thank you. That's just exactly the power band I want.
Okay.
You didn't realize.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at these small bikes saying, yeah, is that a detriment being so smaller and peaky? Like, I think I'd rather take it on a bigger, like a V-twin.
No, you don't.
I don't know.
It's so much easier to put, well, you can put a big person on a small motorcycle, right? But you can't put a small person on a big motorcycle.
Well, yeah,
number one.
Right.
Number two, the weight most people have trouble doing the low speed maneuvers.
Yeah.
And I've seen them use an American brand at another school that weighs 500 pounds.
Okay.
And strong young men are tipping over in a 90 degree turn from a stop because they can't hold that 500 pounds up. Our bikes weigh about 300 or less, slightly less. And it's just easier to do that maneuver. Once your body learns that maneuver, you get the muscle memory of that, you can transfer it to the bigger bike. But if you don't trust your body to do it because the weight is intimidating you, you'll never get the technique.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true, yeah.
So, yeah, low speed is much harder for riders than the higher speed.
I just think, you know, I've only owned three bikes, but I've ridden, I don't know, maybe 100. You know, you ride everybody's, hey, take my bike for it. Sure.
Yeah.
Do that, no problem. And you get to see the differences, and, you know, and once you're experienced, you kind of, you can make the adjustments, you know. But, yeah, it's kind of like a car, Joe. You know, you get in somebody's, you know, you're driving maybe your six-cylinder beater, but someone throws your keys to their, you know, big block Camaro. Like, take it off. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, it's a car, but it's not the same car.
And you make the adjustments.
Mm-hmm. Right. I had a friend crash my 69 GTO. He was a BMW driver. And I said, this is not your BMW.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he spun it a little slick, and he spun it right into a parked car.
Jeez.
Came back, and, I'm sorry.
You know,
I'm sorry.
It's funny, because all these things, you mention one thing, and it brings back a memory from something else. I remember we're good friends with the guys over at Rolling Thunder Cycles in Hempstead.
Yeah, nice guys. Great friends of ours. Yeah.
And this is going back again, I think, to the early 90s, and there was a fellow who came in. He was from Queens. And he just bought this Harley, and he had them doing all sorts of hot rod stuff to it. And I remember Gerard telling him, I just happened to be there at the right point. And he says, listen, you're coming off, he was coming off something Japanese and fast. I don't know if it was a CBX, or, not a CBX, a CBR, or, you know, a Jix or whatever it was.
1,000cc this guy sport
was,
bike.
And he was riding it hard. And he says, this is not that. You ride this bike like that, and all the money you just spent, poof. He says, that ain't warranted. He says, you know, and... You know, when the guy left, he looked at me, you know, Gerard looked at me and says, what do you think the chances are? I'm like, nah, none at all. And within like 2 weeks, he was back. He blew the motor.
Yeah.
He blew the motor on that Harley because he rode it like it was the last bike.
Yeah,
you don't do that with a big.
No. Yeah.
No. It's like having
even
a big.
I know that.
No, it's like having a big block and you had a like a Grand National, you know, let's say, where you could take up to like $9,000-$10,000. Now you get on a big block and you try and bring it to $9,000-$10,000. Like, yeah, pistons, meet you're the atmosphere.
You're never going to hear that whistle with the big block.
No, you hear some boom, though.
Unless you have a vacuum leak.
Yeah, right.
Big vacuum leak.
Real big one.
That's a big that's a big sucker, about the size of New Jersey at that point. Jeez. Yeah. But, it all depends on what you're driving or riding. You have to be in the spirit of it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. 516-572-7440. Give us a call. Get in on this. Steve, how did you learn how to ride?
Off-road.
Okay.
1970.
Right.
Or 69 or 70, 50cc Honda that most of us people our age learned on. I think more people learned on a Z50 Honda than any other beginner bike. And I fell in love. That was my first love. Right after mom, you know, motor, two wheels were the first love.
It's funny how that works.
Yeah.
I had a friend, I was into cars. I was really into cars and hot rods and bikes around, but I kind of just, you know, didn't pay attention. And then one day, a buddy of mine rides up the block, and he had a Yamaha 500 Enduro. One cylinder.
Four-stroke?
It was a four-stroke.
XT.
One cylinder, four-stroke.
XT
500. Compression release to start. It had knobby tires, but it had lights. You know, so it was on and off-road.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the heck is that thing? But this is Gerard, our friend in PA.
Right.
He was like, you know, over 6 feet, so he could draft this thing. He goes, come on, you want to go for a ride? I'm like, all right. I jump on the back, and we went down my block, which had a hill, and I had the same feeling in my lower extremities that I had when I used to ride a mini bike and a go-kart down that hill. It was like, whoa, this is cool.
Yeah.
And you're not going to stop. But he stopped. And we went around, and then he says to me, we came back, he goes, you want to take it for a spin? I was like, yeah, okay. I said, boy, this thing is tall. He says, just be careful. He goes, this wheel will come up in any gear. And I said, okay, take it easy. So I was easy in first, and wow, it was easy to make that thing move. It easy in second. I think in third, I did lift it a little bit. And that was it. I said, I'm buying a motorcycle.
Yeah.
I got to go get a bike.
Yeah. You know,
and that's what started it for me.
I used to set those bikes up back in the day. My cousin owned a Kawasaki Yamaha Honda shop on Hillside Avenue and Queens Boulevard.
Okay.
Back in the 70s, and I worked for him. It was called Hillside Cycles.
Nice.
Yeah. So I used to set those XTs up out of the crate.
Beautiful.
Z1s.
Yeah.
I built one of the first Z1 RTCs, turbocharged
Z1. That's the bike that got away from me that I still want today. Everybody has the one that got away?
Yeah.
A Z1R.
Kind of big money now.
I worked with a guy that owned one. He painted his black. It wasn't that silver blue.
Yeah.
And he wrote Freebird on the back and this thing. And we went out to the tree. He had a friend with a TC. And I finally got the money. I got the loan to buy the bike. I think it was like, I don't know, $2,500 or something.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I got the money. I came home. I called my insurance company. I was going to switch from my 550 Honda to the Cowie. And I still think the Cowie made the best motors and the best style. That's a personal choice. And my insurance was going to double just like that.
Yeah.
And I said, what? I said, there's a mistake. And she says, no mistake. I said, let's go over this again. I said, same rider, same address. It's the same person. I said, why is it doubling? Well, the bike is bigger. I'm like, yeah, it's bigger. But I said, the rider is the same. It's like, aren't you insuring me?
So it went from $60 to $100 a year?
Probably. But you know what? You make $100 a quarter a week, you know?
Yeah.
And I said, on principle, I couldn't do it. I said, you know what? I'm not going to give you that money. I said, and as much as I wanted that bike, and I still want it today, I went, and I learned another lesson about finance. Because I went back to the bank on Monday, and I said, listen, I'd like to pay this loan. And they said, okay. I didn't even have a loan book yet. I had the temporary, you know? I didn't even make payment one on this thing. Handed it back, gave them the check. And they said, okay, just give us, you know, $123. Like, what? I'm like, no, I didn't have to make a first payment. Oh, no. There was a prepayment penalty.
Yeah.
Prepayment penalty.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have those anymore, apparently, but they did then. And you know what? Ooh. I had a grit, and I had to pay it. I should have just walked out and bought the Cowie. But you know what? Maybe that was a sign. Maybe I wasn't meant to have that bike.
Maybe. Yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I believe in karma like that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like
things happen for a reason, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's kind of like I had said back then, and, you know, to the loan officer, we're going to take our last break, and I'll tell you exactly what I said, because then I was in a little bit of trouble, and I needed to find some direction. I didn't know what to do on 90.3 WHPC, so I said,
help, I need somebody, help, not just anybody. So much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Come on, everybody. Let's sing along with Bruce.
Say it! Show a little... You ain't a beauty, but... It's all right.
Join me, Kim Tracy, for the music of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band every Sunday at 1 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, and with the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps.
This show is brought to you by On the Road Again Motorcycle School. Hi, I'm Steve Bertolini, the president of On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and I'd like to tell you that life is short, so live a little by learning how to ride a motorcycle. Classes are available from beginner riders to advanced, including private lessons. Lessons are offered on the campuses of Nassau Community College and Suffolk Community College, also offering the license waiver class, where you can skip the DMV. More information about On the Road Again Motorcycle School can be found by calling 631-862-RIDE. That's 631-862-RIDE. Or online at lrn2ride.com.
Boy, ended right on the couldn't have timed that any better. Back with more Motor
Mouth. Perfect.
Yes, back with more Motor Mouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D, Steve Bertolini from On the Road Motorcycle, On the Road Again Motorcycle School. We're just going over website stuff here, so finding little inconsistencies, things that little things that happen. But I also, I have to mention that if you are of the variety, you like different kind of music, like Steve does, he likes the selection on the station, Mondays at 8, you can tune in Polka Beat, which features, that's Polka Bob, Polka Bob. Petrowski, yes. See, they didn't put his name in it.
You was expecting maybe O'Brien?
New York Polka
no.
Bob. New York Polka
just Polka Bob. Right, we know that, yeah. He plays everything from Ukrainian, Slovenian, and Polish influences, as well as the news of the ethnic communities. So there you go. That's a little different.
Thank
How cool
you.
Is that?
Yes. So, Steve, we were talking about private lessons.
Yes. A great way to determine whether you like to ride a motorcycle or would like to try to ride a motorcycle is to take a private lesson. So it's a one-on-one. It's, you know, hourly. You can take as many hours as you want. And it's just a nice environment where, you know, no pressure, no embarrassment, so to speak. We also train advanced
riders. So it's done late at night, off in the field.
Right. Yeah. Quiet. No, it's done in a quiet park. We usually do it down in Baldwin Park, actually. Okay.
Nice.
Shh. Don't tell Baldwin Park.
No.
It's a public park, and people need to ideally have a permit.
Right.
We can do it without a permit at our college locations, though. Also, we train experienced riders one-on-one.
Nice. Yep. Let's see if we have an experienced rider on the phone when we say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, how you doing? It's Steve Webb.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Hey, Steve.
Good. Yeah, you know, I was just listening to the motorcycle show. Yeah, it was great. You know, I was bringing up old memories. Your guest saying that he had a 50 Honda. Yeah, you know, so that brought up a good memory of mine. My first bike was a Yamaha 125, you know.
Okay.
So basically, we had like 16 years old, no license, you know, of course, and no permit or no insurance or anything like that. So we used to ride around in the Motor Parkway in Levittown. Growing up here in Levittown, there was a strip of property called the Motor Parkway, you know, and basically we ride our bikes up and down there and have a ball with it, you know. And my friend of mine had a 50 Honda, you know. So somebody told us that you can go to Montauk by following the power lines. Okay, so we decide that's it. We're going to go to Montauk and we're going to take our bikes all the way through the power line. So anyway, long story short, we packed the lunch. We had extra gas cans and everything, and we're going to head out.
Extra sandwiches, too?
We're going down the power lines. We get to Wantore Avenue, and the first obstacle was the 8th Precinct, the police precinct. And the 8th Precinct ran parallel right with the power line. So how are we going to get past this? How are we going to get past this? We'll go really fast. Okay, so we went really fast through the 8th Precinct. And we'd travel along. We said, wow, this is going to be some trip. So we got as far as the 135, okay, Sepulveda Bay Expressway. Couldn't pass it, couldn't pass over it, and that was the end of our trip. But supposedly you can travel to Montauk following the power lines, you know. But
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, you know, just hearing that story.
Maybe if you're a pigeon.
Or a helicopter pilot.
Right.
right. But just hearing that story of the first motorcycles, it just brought that up to me, you know. And my friend had the 50 Honda, you know, and we just got done watching that movie, The Wild Ones, with Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
You know, and so he taped he taped the bowling trophy to the headlight, and he's driving around with the bowling trophy like Marlon Brando.
He
had a bowling trophy taped to it. He drove all around town on that. We had so much fun.
Those were the days.
Could have got a bottle of whiskey and been like the Booze Fighters, too, and like, you know, recreated that.
That's for sure. But it definitely brings up great memories hearing about the first bikes.
Nice. Yes. Nice.
That's what we hope to provide, Steve, is good memories and a little bit of laughs, and you know, we're all here to talk about it, so that's the thing.
Yeah, that's great. Cool. All right, good talking to you guys.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Steve.
So long. Bye, Steve.
Excellent. My friend, good friend Gerard, just sent me the copy of that picture that we were talking about with my brother and him on our respective Hondas.
Yeah. That's the first generation Interceptor, yeah?
I believe
84
don't know. I just told him to call. We'll see if he, can, if he has a second to call us, and we'll see.
I had the second generation. It was an 87.
I was
gear-driven cam.
It was 84, 85 that he got that bike, right? Yeah.
Did
right
you buy it from Cycles of Belrose?
You know, that's right across the street from my mother-in-law's house.
Oh, no kidding. Place, well, that's my old neighborhood. Yeah. I grew up right there.
Me too.
I bought a few bikes from them.
And Whitey over at
I worked for
New
Whitey
Motorcycle.
Back in 19, whatever.
Whitey had a guy working there named Mark who rode
Mark
Honda
Mercadante.
750s.
He's an old friend.
I never knew his last name.
He's working at Champion Honda now.
Excellent. Yeah. You know, he went to Honda, Freeport Honda.
Yes.
I followed him there.
Yeah.
And then I moved. And then I just lost, he left there and I lost track of him.
Mark's a good guy. I went to visit him in a hospital up in Albany. We used to race motocross together.
Yeah.
He was a little older than me, but he broke his femur in Claverack, New York, and he was up in Albany in traction for 9 months.
Wow.
Let's
see if we have traction on the phones and we say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
All right. How are you doing?
There he is, the all-weather biker, Gerard.
Hey, Gerard. How you doing?
What's happening?
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
All right, man. What's going on?
Now, you want to talk about bona fide, Steve. Gerard is laying it down like nobody's business on his... How many bikes you have now, Rod, that you switch on and off between?
Just two. The 09 Goldwing and the 03 Concourse.
But you can't keep tires and brakes in them because you ride them so damn much.
Nice. I run them down pretty fast.
I'm surprised you're near a phone today. You're not out on some 300-400 mile little breakfast trip.
I was going to, but since I'm on vacation next week, I'm going to put a healthy amount of miles on the bikes.
Okay,
I figured why not.
Have you ever taken any type of training course? I don't in your career.
No.
I didn't think so. And you're very safe. No. I mean, Gerard's an over-the-road trucker, too, so about needing to know about safety.
Yeah. That's my background also.
Lots of safety there.
Yeah.
But, I've always wanted to. I have three friends that are actually safety course instructors that I ride with.
Right.
So they've ridden with me, and so far they've said I've had no problems with how I handle a bike. So.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't think so, no. But, any advice or comments to the motorcycling public at large from your, because you have a vast experience?
Yeah, I actually think the courses are a very good idea, especially for riders nowadays.
Mm, right.
Because it's just, there's too many variables out there, especially now. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's not safe.
Sure is, yeah.
And I don't know how we can combat that, because you can't, like Bronk used to say, you can't fix stupid.
No.
Yeah.
You know?
And there's a lot either way, in trucks, cars, and motorcycles.
Right, exactly.
So, and I always say small groups are better to learn to be riding with, not big groups.
Right.
Because you have too many things that can happen.
Remember, we used to do the rallies out here back in the 70s. Billy Joel always fronted. I think it was an insurance company that used to do them like a couple of seasons.
There's so many rallies every weekend.
Yeah,
I can't choose which.
Yeah, that was Charity Begins at Home.
Right. Yeah. And I remember a lot of times you're always in the middle of the pack, and guys are doing burnouts and wheelies like in the middle of a pack of motorcycles.
Really?
Like, hey, oh, yeah. That's why back then I said, you know what? Enough of this. I'm going off smaller groups.
They still do it in toy runs and everything else. When I had my Roadster, some guy ran into the back of me.
Oh, geez.
Well, he must have been pretty new, and he just gassed it and ran right into the back of me.
Yeah. How nice.
I've seen a lot of crashes at events.
Unfortunately,
I have seen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Well, Rod.
But we ride.
Listen, if you get a chance, come down and see what we do. Maybe you want to be a coach.
Well, he's in Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a
tough one. That'd be a long.
Yeah, and with traffic these days, yeah. Never mind.
But you know what? He'll probably ride out and just check it out now.
Anytime.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to one day get out there with Ray.
You know, it's always a pleasure to have you around, Rod.
I'll have to take my bike out, and I'll take the Goldwing. The concourse is a little bit... harder to ride.
I like the Connie.
Do you have a 14 Connie or the older Connie?
The older Connie, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I actually had a 14. I traded it for the gold one.
Okay, yeah. Those new wings are nice. So, they're all nice.
Yeah, they
all
are
modern
nice.
Motorcycles are nice. They don't make a bad one.
Yeah. Nope, nobody makes a bad bike anymore.
And like my friend Tony said, the guy that got me into BMWs, No man can have only but one motorcycle. You need at least three. Because they all do different things, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Well, I'm working on a third one, so who knows?
All right, Rod, we're going to work on getting out of here. So we gotta scoot. It's a pleasure talking to you.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, so long.
Good day.
Bye.
And Steve, we got to get out of here, too. It's been a pleasure talking to you. We'll get
that
your stuff
hour
up on the web.
Quick.
Yeah, wow. Next time I'm going to wear the tuxedo, guys.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, sounds good.
Now you're in for Kim.
Yep.
Stay tuned on Motor Mouth for Thunder Road.
We're Motor Mouth. She's right. Thunder Road.
90.3 WHBC.
Who's up first?
See ya.